Welcome to the Washington State Hiking Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Twing Flaming. Along with my part-time co-host, guidebook author Craig Romano, we provide practical and timely seasonal hiking advice for hikers, trail runners, and potential hikers and trail runners of all skill and ability levels that is helpful, accurate, fun, and inclusive. We would love to hear from you, our listeners. The second link in the show notes, right below the tip jar, hint, hint, is our voice memo link. Please leave us a voice memo with your question, and we will answer it in a future episode. Well, hey, Craig. We are here today to talk about waterfalls on the Olympic Peninsula.
And, I mean, it's always waterfall season, right? But it's on the Olympic Peninsula. But, you know, during the summertime, it does get dry over there, and just like most of Western Washington, the best time for waterfall viewing is from November to April.
Yes, absolutely. So, and even some of these ones that come down from snowier places can be pretty good through May or June. And then there's ones like Marymere Falls that kind of dry up in the summer a little bit. Not completely, but...
And it's funny you mentioned Marymere because it's one of those ones that a lot of people are driving around the Olympic Peninsula. They're doing the national park. They see the sign, the falls. They pull the minivan over. They get the family out. They go up this trail and then they get to this trickle.
I know.
So we're going to give you some much better waterfall viewing that are just equally as easy to get to. So it's kind of like, do I dare say, don't waste your time with Marymere, and we'll give you some other
Craig
ones.
Craig Romano's hot take on Marymere. I mostly agree with you. I will say that, like, in the spring, it can be pretty awesome in the winter, but in the summer, it's there's not much water there.
And that's when most of the people are doing the circuit. So
yes. So let's talk about around. So some of the places we're talking about today are in Olympic National Park. Some of them are not.
Right.
But we're going to talk about some really awesome hikes you can do to waterfalls on the Olympic Peninsula. So, anything else you want to say about Marymere before we move on
I will
to some
let,
other options?
I will let all of you out there in the hiking world give it a shot, and maybe we should put a poll up on the website on Marymere, yay or nay.
Ooh, yes.
Because there's several of these that I think they become just popular because there's a big sign on a busy road, and people are just not aware because... Here's shameless plug. They're not reading my guidebook.
Right, they should be. Hello.
You know, they'll tell you, it's only a 2-star. Don't go. Yeah. But we're going to give you much better places to go. And some of these falls, they might not be the star attraction of the trail. They're kind of secondary, so they're not getting a lot of play. But once you hit the trail and realize, whoa, that is a star attraction. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. One thing I will say about Marymere Falls, if you are going there, is that there is some awesome old growth forest on the trail getting over there, and the trail is fairly flat, at least to the bottom of the falls. So if you don't want to go as far from like central Puget Sound as the Ho Rainforest, that's another place you can see really big trees along the way, which is not what this episode is about, but we do need to do one about really big trees. Okay, so... So, Craig, let's talk about some others.
All right,
what's up first?
Well, let's start. You know, first of all, the closest part of the Olympic National Park to the Puget Sound area is the Staircase Rapids area.
Yeah.
Not too far, from Shelton. You know, it's a great hike, especially this time of year, though it's not waterfall-y in the sense they're going to see these tumbling, but the cascades are amazing there. Mm-hmm. You're going to see some serious water, some serious roar. You'll hear some serious roar. Really nice 2-mile loop you can do there. It's a historic area. I would definitely, if you haven't been to a Staircase Rapids, that is worth going to this time of year. One of the easier waterfalls when we think of the Olympics, on the east side is the dry side, so you're not thinking as much rain there. But Murhut Falls is one of the better falls, and this is not too far from Quilcene. And what's interesting, it's in the Olympic National Forest. It was not discovered, shall we say, until fairly recently from a logging crew So a lot of people weren't even aware of it because it's tucked in this ravine. It wasn't easy to find, but the trail is less than 2 miles round trip.
Yep.
It's a great one to go this time of year. And if you wait a little bit longer into May, you've got rhododendrons in that area, and that should be another. We should talk about all the great rhododendron hikes.
Yes.
So that's a good one to do as well. And then right outside the Elwha, when you go, you know, the road is washed out. You have to park, and where the parking area is Madison Creek Falls, and yep. That's a nice one. It's ADA. It's wheelchair accessible.
Yes.
Same thing. That one, it might not be too stunning by the end of summer, but right now it's actually it's pretty
beautiful.
Decent.
Yeah. It is a beautiful waterfall in the spring.
So yeah. That one, I've just given you three good waterfalls. You know, that are much better than Merrimere.
Yeah.
But if you are going to go
Madison is one I used to take people to on my tour.
That is a good
and
one.
People always really really loved it. There's a wonderful picnic area. There
yes.
Too.
And theoretically that's still the dry area of the Olympics too. So getting that. So if we go over into the wet area where we really think about rain, so we're on a longer trip, one of the nicest place, and it's not in the name, is in the Quinault Rainforest. So when you go over to Quinault, which is in the National Forest, which means you can bring your dog on these hikes, there's a whole series of trails there. And there's a couple Cascade Falls, really nice. The bridge goes over it. These falls are incredible. And you're getting the old growth forest is amazing in here too.
Yep.
So there's several falls in this region, and you can hike, you know, a couple miles or up to 10 miles. Great area for waterfalls. And then on the coast, you're not thinking about the coast itself, beach hikes, but on Third Beach, you hike down one. I think it's like 1.7 miles or something to the beach,
yeah.
And then walk along the beach to the south as far as you can go before you're hemmed in, and you've got a waterfall just crashing right into the ocean at Strawberry really Bay. Cool. That's one of the neater falls. And if you do some of the more rugged overnight going along the Olympic coast, you're going to find a lot of these smaller falls coming down, crashing right into coves. So So a lot of them, they're not the big famous ones. Probably the most famous waterfall in the Olympics, you know, I would say is Salduck.
Yes.
Salduck definitely deserves its hype. It is
it
beautiful.
Does. It's a beautiful,
beautiful
waterfall.
And even in the summertime, it's still flowing really well. But
yeah.
Boy, this is the time of year. You've got the maidenhair firs, ferns growing along it, the bridge that goes above it. You've got a CCC picnic shelter that's been restored, and amazing old growth forest, towering trees. Easy hike to get in there. It's a little over a mile.
So wait a minute, Craig. Remember, we don't say easy. It's hard. We have to catch ourselves too. I would say it's not steep.
Okay. It's always tough for me because I consider anything that's less than 20 miles.
But that's why you're here, Craig, because you do much, much harder. Not the only reason, but one reason is you can do much harder hikes than me.
This is a waterfall that most people can do.
Yes.
It is not a difficult hike.
Yes.
And if you want to extend it, because it is fairly short, you can do this wonderful loop through the Lover's Lane Trail that goes along along the creek there and into the campground. So if you're camping there, or heading out to the hot springs, which is a developed hot spring. It's not a backcountry, but it's really nice. The pools,
it is.
Everything's connected, so you can make this into a much larger, you know, into a day trip. You know, waterfall camp, hot springs, the whole old growth.
And if you do that hike on Lover's Lane from the campground there by Solduck Hot Springs, like that is still not a steep hike. That's something like 7 miles.
I think it's
round
less than
trip
that.
Is that right? But it doesn't have a lot of elevation gain, so it's still something that most people who are up for walking the distance can do.
And I'm consulting my guide right now to give you the stats on that.
Thank you, Craig.
The Solduck Falls Loop, it's 5.5 miles.
Oh, okay. So it's shorter than I thought.
And the elevation gain is 400 feet.
Yeah.
And I did give that a difficulty of a 1, which is, I use that verboten word, easy.
Yes. Okay. But you know what? A 1 is good because a 1 is a number that says it's less difficult than other hikes.
Yes. So I rate from 1 to 5.
Which I completely agree with that.
Yeah. The terrain, just a few rocky spots, but it's fairly level. All ages and abilities can do this. And surprisingly, too, the Lover's Lane Trail, Solduck is popular. You'll get a lot. But the Lover's Lane is not. Most people who are just intent on seeing the falls, you know, for their Instagram shot or whatever, they're just going to do the out and back to the falls.
Yes. Yep. And that is, I believe, less than 2 miles.
Yeah. It's just around 2 miles. Yeah. Yep.
So you can choose your own adventure there a little bit as far as how far you feel like hiking.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay.
Now, if you want, because Solduck is definitely a popular place, if you're looking for the trail less traveled, the waterfall less viewed, truly
always looking for that, Craig.
Off the beaten path.
Another reason why we're doing this together.
I'm going to send you south to the south flank of the Olympics, where very, very few people, except for you know, the Gray Harbor, the Gray's Harbor people out there are like, oh, please don't reveal our spots. But I'll tell you,
reveal it.
I tell you, I talk about these, I write about it. And I just did a talk in Port Angeles last week. And it's amazing. I asked the audience there, how many of you have made the trip south? It's funny calling trip south. It's like, you know, you think you're going to LA or Alabama or something.
Right.
South to them is Grays Harbor.
Right. Yes.
They don't go. I mean, you know, that's what's crazy is that, you know, there's this vision, well, that's too far, or there's just not much there. That's not true. So there's some really neat falls at Wainuchi Lake. And and what's interesting, you know, years ago, I mean, it's a haul to get there, but the road is paved now to get to the lake, where years ago it was a long dirt road.
Yeah.
So, and there's some really nice campgrounds at the lake too. So if you're going in there, you can spend the weekend in there. If you do the loop around the lake, which is a decent all day hike, you know, it's 12 to 16 miles, but you can go by Maidenhair for Maidenhair Falls, which is spectacular. There is a short way to get in there. You can continue up the dirt road and go up there. That's spectacular. And another hidden waterfall that you'll probably be the only ones there is the Spoon Creek Falls. And that one, you go towards the Satsup Lakes, which is another nice off the beaten track place to hike. And you hike down into this gorge, to the falls. It's a very, very short hike. It's less than, I think it's a quarter of a mile to get into it. And when not this time of year, but later in the fall, you can actually put some boots on and do some exploring down into that ravine. What's neat about the south, the rivers and the creeks on the south flank of the Olympics, a lot of them disappear in these gorges. It's just an entirely different landscape. And with that said, over the high bridge, which crosses, it's an old logging old logging road that goes over. It's one of the highest, like it's named to know, it's one of the highest bridges in the state. It's insane. You can walk across this thing and peer down hundreds of feet down below, and there's a waterfall tumbling, the Vincent Creek Falls, which is also spectacular. So if you're going up the South Fork of the Skokomish area, that's one. Do the side trip to check out those waterfalls.
Yeah.
So there's some cool falls on the south flank.
You know, it's funny that you talked about Maidenhair Fern Falls.
Maidenhair Falls. Yeah, no fern, just Maidenhair Falls. I know, okay. I kept saying the fern too. I know, because of the fern,
I think it's funny, that's a little bit of a twist on the Bridal Veil Falls, which, of course, we have in Washington.
There's several of them. Every state has one.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. It's like every state has, at least Alaska has two or three Bridal Veil Falls that I know about. We have at least one in Washington. I don't know, I think that's just funny. It's like Bridal Veil Falls and Horsetail Falls. Could we kind of get a little more creative in the naming of the waterfall?
And what's interesting with Horsetail, because waterfall aficionados, when they describe a waterfall, they'll describe it as two-tier, three. They'll describe a waterfall as Horsetail. So it's used as a classification.
Right, like a description, not
exactly
a proper noun.
Exactly. Yeah. So it would be nicer to come up with a different name for it. But, you know, a lot of people,
I like Maidenhair. It's basically the same idea as Bridal Veil, but like something different.
Exactly, because some of these falls, some of them are named after, you know, the first person that recorded seeing them and things like that, or the first non-native person that recorded seeing them. Some of them are descriptive, like Staircase Rapids, you know, he gives you and then you know, some of them do have the native names like Solduck, and then you know, others are just banal, exactly like horsetail.
Right, it's like someone was just just out of ideas.
Yeah, you know, Swift River, things like that. Yes. Yeah, Cold yes. River, you know. Yes. Yeah, so don't let that woo you into thinking whether the waterfall is worth seeing. It doesn't have to have, but it is nicer when it carries, you know, a name that kind of piques your interest. So,
totally. Yeah. Completely agree. Okay, any other favorites on the Olympic Peninsula?
So I'm trying to think. So one other area, if you're interested, that could be, it's kind of fascinating. So the Dosey Wallops road is washed out, and we can talk about that in itself, what that means. But you can walk up or mountain bike up the road right now, and several miles up it, it's a good haul to get up there, is an amazing waterfall along the Dosey Wallops River. Just going, you're gonna hike right aside it. It's crashing. Matter of fact, Jenny and I were talking earlier about Yosemite, and it does remind me the waterfall, the way the road's positioned, the rock. It does remind me of something you'd see in the Yosemite Valley. Mm-hmm. And so this time of year, that's an incredible waterfall to see.
Awesome.
So it's probably one of the more impressive ones to see.
Right. And so the issue with that one is because the road is closed, it's longer, but not particularly steep. Like it would be wide, but like a road. And
it's a long slog on a road. But yeah. You know, it's there's some good forest in there. Some views of the river. Again, it's easy. I'm sorry. It's
I could tell this is going to be a running thing forever.
Yeah. And I always warn people. My definite, but though. In my books, I do not base it on what I think. I do it on the general population.
And you also base your difficulty ratings in your book based on data, right? It's not like based on like, oh, Craig Romano felt like it was easy or hard. It's more like if it's a one, then it's going to be shorter and not as steep. If it's a five, it's going to be long and steep. I mean, or anything in between. So that's awesome.
So I should tell you, my 85-year-old grandmother can do, my 85-year-old mother can do this hike, but I should warn you that, you know, the genetics.
She is your mother.
She's been hiking for quite a long time, and she's capable of doing these types of hikes. Yeah. But no, it's generally all ages and abilities. And again, you can push a mountain bike up there if you want to do that too on the road. So
Yeah, sweet. Okay, so does that bring us to the end of our top pick waterfalls for the Olympic Peninsula?
Well, let me give you, there's a lot of them that are just off the road, so we don't have to talk about those. They're not really hikes. But one of the neater, it's not a spectacular fall, its location is spectacular. So I was just, last week, I was just up at Stripe Peak checking out the new loop up there, which is out of this world. It's a great, if you haven't been up there. Same thing, this was a hike years ago.
Can you just mention where that is, Craig?
Yeah.
Stripe Peak? Because it is new, people.
It's
new.
Well,
the land isn't new.
Yeah, right. The land's been around for thousands of years.
Yeah.
Millions of years, I should say. But it's just east of, just west of Port Angeles near Joyce. So very, very close to Port Angeles. And it's a DNR. You access it through a county park through Salt Creek, and it's on DNR property. And years ago, the hike was just so-so. It wasn't anything exciting. You hiked through beautiful old growth. That was nice. And you ended up on an old growing over road. And it's like, you know, but now the new loop, it's 6.5 miles. The views are amazing. Into Vancouver Island, down the Strait of Juan de Fuca, into the Olympic. It's incredible. When I redo my book, it's gone from a 2-star to a 4-star.
Awesome.
Okay, just to let you know. So part of that trip, when you're going through this old growth forest, there's a side trail that goes to this cove, which is just called, ready for this, the Cove. Okay, the Cove.
Speaking of coming up with extremely creative names,
we should do contests. It'd be a great way to raise money for our parks. Like you pay to name it something,
right?
But anyways, you drop down a couple hundred feet, but it's, you know, it's steep, but it's incredible. The stonework that was done there, it's all stone steps. And there's this little waterfall that just comes down this tiny ravine right into there. And you walk to the base. And again, the fall itself isn't spectacular, but the setting is spectacular.
Yep.
So check it out.
Awesome. Fantastic. Okay, before we wrap up this episode around waterfall hikes around the Olympic Peninsula, I just wanted to also mention, if you haven't been to the Olympic Peninsula before,
It can be quite a long way between places you can get food, right? There's not like fast food every few miles or any food every few miles. So, I mean, there are some great places to stop for food, like Port Angeles is a probably the best food stop on the Olympic Peninsula.
And Squim, too.
Yeah. Squim is really good. But in general, and there are some awesome little roadside places and that kind of thing, but it is a good place to bring some food with you, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that you're not like wanting to jump out of the car and do a hike, but you're like a 2-hour drive from any kind of food. You bringing some stuff with you on the Olympic Peninsula is a really good practice.
And the other thing I should warn too, you know, Olympic National Park, it's one of our most popular national parks. What's amazing though, it does not have a lot of the large gate. Even Port Angeles, which is the largest community surrounding, is not what we think of as a gateway community. If you've been to, you know, Tucson and Grand Canyon and some of these, you know, where there's lots of lodging and food. But so lower your expectations for lodging and food and everything.
Yeah.
Though there are some good, but once you leave Port Angeles and you get, you know, Forks, you know, you get a little bit, but you're getting into areas, and even between Shelton and Squim, you know, there's Quilcene, there's a couple, but you don't have a lot of choices of place. And likewise for lodging, you know, there's campgrounds you can do, you know, but if you're looking at, you know, you want a place to stay in a hotel or Airbnb or something like that, then Squim and Port Angeles are going to be your best bet.
Yeah.
As you get out of the coast, you have Forks, and then farther south, you know, Aberdeen a little bit, you're probably going to be better off looking at Ocean Shores to stay there to hit Quilcene.
Yep.
There's also the historic lodges. You can stay at the Quilcene Lodge, at Lake Claylock Lodge. They're always worth, if you've never done them, you know, maybe sometimes they run specials on the off season, but they're cool to stay at if you've never done, just for the whole experience. You know, like Quinault is where FDR had been out there, you know, when they're way back in the 30s. So there's some neat history there too.
Yep.
But definitely be prepared, and don't come the idea I'm going to do the whole peninsula in a weekend type of thing. Drive around a lot of, particularly people who are out of the area who fly. Think they're going to do the whole national. Pick an area and just do it. You're just be spending a lot of time driving. And 101 is not a freeway. You're going to be, you know, behind RVs and just putting along
the logging trucks.
Logging trucks.
When I did tours over there, that really helped me getting new appreciation for the logging trucks and how just nuts their driving is sometimes.
Time is money. Got to get that load delivered.
I will also just mention, since you brought up the Lake Quinault Lodge, the restaurant there is actually pretty awesome. And in the summer, I have had lunch there. Like, they have like a little patio space kind of in front of the lodge that has a really nice view of the lake. And that can be a really nice road trip stop, even if you're not staying there, you know. So that is a good spot.
Well, if we're plugging restaurants, so the place.
Oh, yeah, plug away.
So the place that I discovered last week, I was just over in Port Angeles. You know, it's lots of times I'm really busy, I'm on the trail late. I want something fast, but not necessarily fast food, because I tend to want something with substance and maybe somewhat healthy or what.
Yeah.
And there's a little place in Port Angeles called Fast Burritos.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And let me tell you, not only it lived up to its name, it was a fast burrito. I couldn't believe it. Not Taco Bell. And it was good. It was really good. And the pricing was right. You know, it's a local owned business too. You know, it's not a large franchise area.
Yeah.
I will definitely hit them again when I'm over there.
Yeah.
You know, on my next trip. So I don't know how long they've been around. I think they've been around for a little while. That was my latest food discovery.
Love it.
So.
I also, there's at least one really good Thai restaurant in Port Angeles. The one that I've been to, I can't recall the name of it, but it's kind of close to the port. Really good.
Excellent.
Like most Thai food in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some bad Thai restaurants out there, but I haven't found them yet.
I haven't either. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of our Olympic Peninsula waterfall episode. Our next episode next week will be about other waterfalls in Washington, because we started with this waterfall episode idea, and then we quickly realized that we should split it up into a couple parts. So stay tuned for part 2.